Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, and broker here at StoneX. We work in the grain and oil seed markets, also energy and dairy. We do futures and options, structured products and OTC, and also consulting for our hedging clients on the producer side and also on the end user side. If you have any questions about what I do here or me and my team, please give me a call at 312-706-7610. Or email craig.turner@stonex.com. If you like the podcast, please give us a positive review on iTunes. If you want to check out the newsletter, go to turnerstake.com. You can check it out there. And let's get into it. And again, you know, if you are a client and you want to do anything with your account or you want to talk about something, you can always give me a call, shoot me an email, and you should have my cell phone number too. Always feel free to reach out to that or text. All right, so let's jump into it here. We are coming to the end of the week. Markets have been mixed on the macro front. Probably the most interesting thing is here on Friday, we've been getting a rally where, you know, traders are kind of seeing a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel on U.S. Federal Reserve interest rate hikes. I think the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates again, 75 basis points to get us to that, you know, 4% interest rate. And then it sounds like they'll maybe raise in 23, but not as fast, like they'll go 50 or 25 and eventually be in that 425, 450. And I think the market is, you know, pretty much, you know, priced in at least going to 4 in November or by the end of the year. And you know, now we're kind of on the back end of these interest rate hikes. So we do have, you know, the stock market was up today. Bonds were down just a little bit. There seems to be more stabilization, a little bit more of a risk on or money flow into riskier assets. So that's always kind of positive. That is the kind of the flavor of the market that we're getting here at the end of the week. So that's where we are on the macro front. Not a ton of news going on. You know, there, I'd say from a macro perspective, there's two things. One, this Ukraine and Russia, it keeps on escalating. And that's going to keep the market on edge, especially in terms of agriculture and energy, which we'll get into. And then, you know, the SPR is going to, you know, the United States has been using the SPR to keep energy prices down. And that's going to end, I think, soon, probably right after, I want to say somewhere in November, right after the midterms. I think that's what it was scheduled for. So, you know, what does that mean when we don't have the SPR helping out with prices and OPEC making their cuts? I think what we want to do here is when I take a look at the energy markets, we are ramping up production in natural gas, and I don't see us having a shortage of natural gas in the United States. Maybe in Europe, for sure, but not in the United States or in North America for that much, at least around the major production areas. Now, diesel and heating oil is different. Like even with producing oil or having more oil come in from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, there's just only so much capacity. And as demand grows this winter on the heating oil side, and we still need diesel to operate manufacturing and transportation, it's gonna be tight on the system. So in the short term, let's just say for the rest of October and November, December, kind of like being long heating oil, which is also a substitute for diesel there. Almost exactly the same contract. And then In the longer term, I do like buying the June crude oil options, some kind of spread, call spread, maybe even sell a put spread along with it. I like that a lot. I'm open to looking at a June DEIS crude oil spread on the future spread. I think that seems interesting. I know they talk about recession and slow growth, but I think energy is going to be tight no matter what. And if there's just anything I'd be looking at right now, it would be those. If you want to go over any specifics, whether it be on the spec side or the hedge side, the hedge energy costs, or you're going to use a little bit more of a speculative nature, give me a call. We can put something together. I am concerned about energy this winter, especially in Europe. And I think it's gonna part of that's gonna bleed over to the United States. But just looking at the refinery capacity, we've got issues here in North America too. And there's gonna have to be some kind of reckoning with the energy industry and policy and national security here. And it's not that far off. So that's that. That would lead us into the ag markets. I'm gonna start with wheat just because it's so difficult to get a handle on the wheat market when you don't know, and there's no way to know what's gonna happen in the Black Sea. And how much wheat's going to be available. It's tight. Prices deserve to be, around $9. There's no doubt about that. And when you take a look at, we haven't had a ton of harvest pressure from the spring wheat. Spring wheat's already harvested and done. Winter wheat was a while ago. And now we're taking a look at the southern hemisphere, and Argentina wheat keeps on getting downgraded. And Australia wheat's now having issues because they've had excessive rain in eastern Australia. And we're just not going to have as much wheat available on the export market coming from south, the southern hemisphere. That's an issue. We have to make do with everything we have in the northern hemisphere, which is good when you consider Canada had a very good spring wheat crop. The United States had a pretty decent spring wheat crop. For wheat, not okay for the soft red winter. Which is the Chicago contract. It was not a good year for hard red winter wheat in the United States. And you take a look at Europe, and Russia and Ukraine. And quite honestly, Russia and Ukraine would have had some really pretty good crops. Unfortunately, they have the war there in Ukraine when some of the other parts of the world weren't doing well. And Russia's going to have a monster crop. So we have to be able to get this wheat out of the Black Sea, which is why I've been saying, I mean, if things completely collapse with the grain corridor in November, maybe wheat is another dollar or two higher. But if things can go really well and tensions can de-escalate and things get better in the Black Sea, then we can come down a dollar or two in wheat. And it's just really a flip of the coin. I mean, if you know how things are gonna go pan out in the Black Sea war between Russia and Ukraine, I mean, more power to you. It still seems quite the mystery to us over here. And the thing is, the high price of wheat kind of helps out everything else. Because you look at soybeans, we have a 200 million carryout, and corn's at a 1.2 billion, and we're tight, and cash is tight, the basis is tight, and I get it, but should soybeans be at $14 on a 200 million carryout? Yeah, maybe closer to 13 or 12.50, but wheat's real high. Corn. On a 1.2 billion carryout in October, November at harvest, should we be $7? Probably not. Probably be closer to six. But wheat's this high, and we've got all these, and we've got all these geopolitical issues and inflation. So, a rising tide lifts all boats. We have tightness in the grain and oil seed markets, and we have tightness in the energy markets, and there is real concern about inflation and high logistical costs, and it keeps a lot of these cost high. When I take a look at over the next couple of months, where we haven't really seen any harvest pressure at all, I guess the risk in the short term would be to the upside if we had bad weather in South America or the grain export corridor, like something happens there in November, it doesn't get extended. So, right now, La Nina is still going on. It is getting weaker, maybe a little bit prolonged. We're seeing Argentina farmers basically not plant as much first crop corn, and they're going to plant more second crop corn, hoping to have, you know, the most critical time of their growing season being, you know, Jan, Feb, March of 2023 instead of being November, December, January, which would be with the first crop. And the idea is by then, when we get to January and definitely February, La Nina may be done and we may have more of a neutral weather system. And who knows, maybe even we can be setting up for El Nino later this year or next year, which would be positive for global, for the most part, positive for global development of grain and oilseed crops. So there's a lot going on in South America. The whole point of that was just like, you know, we are dependent on corn and soybeans down there. We need a good crop. We're tight. We need a good crop in South America. And the markets can be very sensitive to that. Now we're going to have record acres in Brazil, especially for soybeans. You get a trend line yield down. Brazil looks pretty good in terms of weather. You get a trend line yield or better down there, which is certainly in the cards at the moment. You could have a lot of soybeans coming out of South America, and you consider how their currency is a lot weaker than the United States. You know, U.S. exports could go below 2 billion, and the ending stocks could go out to 300 million from the 200 that it is now, just because of the cheaper beans that'll be available in South America. Now, there's a long time for that to happen. It also can go the other way, but just something to consider here. When it comes to Argentina, you know, we will get rains later on in the season. It's not going to help this winter wheat at all. It's way too late for that. Hopefully it helps corn and soybeans down there. We can certainly use it in, you know, for the world balance sheets. And then finally, you know, we take a look at you know, just in terms of, you know, the market being tight, take a look at corn. Can Ukraine get corn out? You know, the United States at 1.2 billion on a carryout, we're already seeing a slower pace of exports and demand. And, you know, we only need exports to go down or total demand to go down 200 to 300 million bushels, which sounds like a lot. But when you consider the usage in this country over the, you know, course of a year is 14.5 to 15 billion bushels. And you just need $7 corn to hang out for enough to discourage 200 to 300 million bushels. We're talking like we're talking about price rationing 2% of the overall demand, just to get to a 1.5 billion carryout. And if that happens, then, you know, maybe we're closer to six, high fives. You get 92 million acres and a trend line yield next year for corn. And all of a sudden, you know, we're at a 1.7 or 1.8 billion carryout this time next year. So, you know, then where's corn there? Then corn's at $5. So, you know, the whole point of this exercise and just going through these what if scenarios, they aren't even that drastic. It's just, you know, we could be, if things get worse in the Black Sea or we get any kind of drought in North America or South America again, you know, we're looking at all time high prices in a lot of these grain and oilseed markets. And going through, you know, the highs of last year. But if we can get a good cycle in South America and North America between this winter and next spring, summer, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's a lot of risk to the downside. So it's going to be difficult. You know, we've had high input costs. It's going to be, you know, a lot of uncertainty coming out of the Black Sea. And then a lot's going to be riding on the weather. And, you know, where we could have scenarios where you're either going to go from abundant to very tight or vice versa. And that's going to make things challenging. So going forward, right now we're making cash sales on old crop. I would use any kind of rally in South America to probably get very aggressive on old crop sales. I think at that point, you know, you would probably start hedging 2023, maybe even 24 more aggressively. Maybe what would be easiest to do in terms of like making the marketing decision down the road is buy, you know, now that we're here, you know, at harvest, buying calls to, you know, for the spring and summer in corn and soybeans, old crop, to sell into when we, if and when we get these rallies from South America and in the or in planting next year for US. Easier to sell, you know, old crop when you already bought that call now, you know, when theoretically we're in the lull. And then also whenever you make those old crop sales, you're probably turning around and putting on hedges for a new crop too. I think that's probably the play. And in the meantime, you got to hedge that energy cost also. If I'm on the buy side of things, I'm probably just buying month to month, maybe getting a little bit coverage out into the next quarter, looking for lower prices. I'm probably also, just in case everything goes to heck in a handbasket, probably having some calls like $8 corn calls and $15 soybean calls and, you know, $12 wheat calls, just in case things go absolutely wrong. But for the most part, if you're going to play the odds, eventually prices leak down from here. So number one, energy is probably going to be, I mean, it could be an issue pretty fast in the next couple of weeks if things don't change. I'd look to be on the long side there, whether you're a spec or a hedge. For the farmers out there on the green and oil seed side, I'd probably be looking to buy calls to sell old crop into in any kind of summer, any kind of South American weather issue. And then when we get to later this year, I'd be looking at, you know, puts. And if you have an OTC account, accumulators for new crop and maybe even 24. And if I'm on the buy side, I'm still buying mostly in the short term, hand to mouth or a quarter out, looking for the breaks to add on to coverage later on in the year and just have some kind of call strategy in place to protect you from higher prices. And again, that would be on the buy side, our food and beverage and end users, those types of clients. So if you have any questions, please give me a call. I'm happy to go over any of these strategies and our thoughts. In the meantime, have a great weekend. I'll be around next week. Give a call or an email anytime, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening. And all right, everybody, have a good week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.